Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is Tuesday edition, 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli. We're monitoring the situation with Israel. We have some audio from Trump. He just spoke a short time ago. Obviously, the election's in a month. So all of this stuff, all of this is going to impact it. And to Chris's point on Twitter, the greater Chris, he said, you know, olive oil, which we needed to get the lice out of the kid's hair. He said, uh-oh, how does olive oil get here from Italy? Truck, right? Stop looking at me like that. It's a truck, right? But obviously, dock workers. So I'm hearing already panic buying as the dock workers are on strike and people are already going into stores. And I'm sure if you've seen this, would you let me know? Call up at 855-839-1210. If you've seen panic buying already, or if you've seen grocery stores putting limits on things, I don't know if they've started doing that yet, but we'll probably have that. It's going to remind us a lot of what it was like during COVID. You remember? You could only buy two rolls of toilet paper. It was limits on everything. Somebody sent me a picture on Twitter of at least the ShopRite. I don't know what town, but no bananas. No bananas. So basically what this is going to do is it's really going to affect stuff that comes to the United States on the East Coast. It's not affecting the West Coast. It's the East Coast down to the Gulf of Mexico. But, I mean, that's a lot of things. A lot of things. And so the option then is they could go through the Panama Canal and go up to the West Coast, but that's going to be a lot more expensive, unload the stuff by trucks and then bring it to the East Coast. But obviously that's going to raise prices on everything. The other option is those ships just sit there waiting for the strike to end, for the longshoremen to unload it. The third option is Biden puts them back to work. He orders them under the powers he has as president, and then they just don't, you know, they operate at 20% capacity versus 100% capacity, and we're still in the same situation. So that's where all that stands. And obviously we in the United States of America import a lot of stuff, but the stuff from China is going to go to the West Coast. So I'm less worried about that. And you're going to load it up on trucks and you're going to drive it across the United States. But there's a lot of other stuff from around the world that comes to the United States of America that arrives on the East Coast ports, and even stuff from China does too, because a lot of the stuff begins in China and then it's made, finished up in Italy, for example. I don't know if you know this, but a lot of Italian products are fugazis. They really are. The Italian law, you as long as you finish up the production there, you just slap, you know, made in Italy on it, and then you think you could buy a nice pair of Italian eyewear. It's actually just made in China, or a Bertazzoni oven, which I had that. And the friggin' door, remember the door broke? Remember that? A couple years ago, watching the Eagles game, the friggin' glass breaks in the middle of the game. I'm making pizzas inside because it was cold out. And the friggin' glass breaks. And I said that, and then somebody texted me and said, you know, a lot of this stuff in Italy is actually made in China. And that's true. I mean, remember during COVID, we figured that out because there were so many Chinese workers in Italy, which is why Italy had huge numbers of COVID. And Milano, the fashion capital of the world, a lot of that too. So anyway, Chris pointed out coffee. Yeah, we get a lot of coffee from South America, obviously, Central America, Mexico. So there's going to now have to be increased truck traffic. It'll be interesting to see the impacts that's going to have, too, on the backup crossing the U.S.-Mexico border during this port strike, at least so far as the Gulf Coast, and the impact on the East Coast will be. White House officials believe the impact on consumers will be limited for now, but executives say a walkout lasting a week or longer would push up shipping costs and might trigger product shortages. A strike lasting even 1 week would tie up ships for much longer periods, which could exacerbate shipping delays, eat up capacity, and drive up freight rates, according to industry analysts. But then there's also just a psychological component of this, which is when you go into Costco and you see everybody loading up on paper towels and water, and you go, I gotta do this too. And then everybody else starts doing it. And you're like, well, coffee comes from Colombia. I better load up on my coffee. And everybody, and then suddenly you go there and there's nothing. And there's no reason for there to be nothing yet. But there's already a lot of stuff sitting on the docks right now that's just not being unloaded. So there's stuff. I mean, they got those containers. Those containers are full all over. With they got cars in there. They got, you know, all kinds of goods and stuff. And they're just sitting there. They're not going to be unloaded anytime soon. So, yeah, it's going to have ramifications. But I think just a psychological ramification. I think that, personally, we all saw it with COVID, with the shortages on things, toilet paper being the thing I remember the most. I'm sure there were shortages on a lot of other things, too. It's just that one in my mind stands out for some reason, I guess, because it's kind of essential, you know, kind of need it. But we've been through that, and so I wonder what effect that's going to have on everybody. So if you've seen any of that stuff, either tweet me at Rich Zeoli, add it to the YouTube chat, which I'm monitoring, or call the show at 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. But I want to go to Mike in Fort Washington. Does Mike have that issue with that ballot? Mike, so what happened? You got a mail-in ballot and it was all messed up?
It was the first time I ever even considered voting by mail. I opened it up the other day, and yes, that inside envelope, the one you're supposed to mail back, on the outside was completely sealed. So I thought, you know, maybe humidity or something. But I'm thinking now, you know, after you mentioned it, they're going to know every single, if that was done intentionally. I'm not saying it was, but my intention, too, was to get that ballot and then take it in person to my district, which is up in White Marsh, which I plan to do on Friday if we make it. So that's the situation.
So what do you think of that now? Does this make you lose complete confidence in the system?
I don't lose confidence, but it gives me more cause for concern. I mean, that's too coincidental, it seems to me. So if they're putting all these envelopes out that are already sealed off, it just seems sneaky to me. Now that I hear it's happening to somebody else, I was shocked when I heard you mention that.
Yeah, it was a story in the Inquirer today. My buddy John sent it to me, and I said, oh, here we go. You know, here the nonsense begins. Like, how do you send a sealed out envelope? I don't think in my entire life, I must have. How many envelopes do you think in your life you probably have licked? And hopefully no one died from the licking of the envelopes. You know what I mean? But how many envelopes, really, from Christmas cards to just your generic white stationery envelopes, and how many of them were sealed in the box when you opened them up? I don't remember that ever happening to me in my life.
Me either.
Right. So I'm saying, like, how does that happen? And then the minute that envelope is breached, right?
Well, what do we do now? Do we start reporting all the sealed envelopes, and is it not too late to do anything about it?
I don't know. It's a great question. I'm gonna chat with my friend Linda Kearns about it, because my concern is that if you are told to open it up and then scotch tape it back and mail it back, that ballot is just begging for somebody to tamper with it, don't you think?
I think yes.
I mean, you ever Absolutely. Do that? Like, I'm cheap, so you ever try to tape a stamp down after you used it on the wrong envelope and you rip it off and you get that white, you know, the white paper from the envelope behind it, and you tape it down with the scotch tape or something like that, or you try to reuse an envelope or whatever it is. I mean, it's so bad and it's so obvious that they could go, well, this ballot was just sent back this way, and how would anybody know that? That's what makes me worried. It just gives them the opportunity to play their little games and go, if somebody sent it back, it looked like this when it came to us.
Yeah, and somebody tampered with this one, and somebody tampered with that one.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you, Mike. Keep the faith, brother. I appreciate it. Thank you for listening to the show.
I am, and if you get any more information, but I would say, versus, you know, on the mail system, take those ballots, find out where your district voting office is. Live in-person voting starts, I believe it's this Friday. It's on the 4th, I believe. Take those ballots, show up, and just make sure they're counted. Not cast, they're got to be counted.
Yeah, I agree. That's excellent advice. I would do that 100%. Don't mail them back. Take them in person. Do that. That's a good point, Mike. And everybody can do that early voting in person. So thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Good advice. 855-839-1210. Tim's in Bucks County. Tim, are you an importer?
Imp-
importer and exporter.
Very good. Excellent. Yes. Vandalay Industries?
More or less. We specialize in global distribution of disposable restaurant supplies. So,
okay.
It's a big problem. I mean, if it gets resolved within a few days, not a big deal. For each week that it goes on, there's going to be a month of delays at the ports. Because, I mean, already the ports are busting at the seams. We're okay now, but this thing goes on 2-3 weeks, you're looking at a major, major disruption.
Where do all those disposable restaurant supplies come from, typically?
Before COVID, we were 80% exporters, 20% importers, because, you know, certain things they just don't make here in the States anymore. But post-COVID, we're 80% importing and 20% export, from American-made manufacturers, because the amount of American manufacturing shrinks at an alarming level every year. It's embarrassing. I've been doing this for 30 years, and I can't believe how many companies that we used to, export for that just aren't around anymore.
Right.
So, for example, you'll have a ship come into New York that'll discharge 3,800 containers on average on the big inbound from Asian ships. And the amount of exports might be 200 to 300 containers. The rest of it's empty containers. And what we're exporting is mostly, you have some agricultural items that's bigger on the West Coast, but a lot of scrap metal, scrap plastic, not a lot of finished goods because, we don't make finished goods here.
So we're talking about the importing of all this stuff, but this is also going to affect the exporting, too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I haven't even thought about that.
It's unfortunate that the exporting is a microcosm of the whole thing. So if I import something from Asia into New York, the rate can vary depending, under a service contract or open market, between $3,000 and $5,000 right now. To export something from New York to Hong Kong or China is about $500 because they're just having to get the container back there.
Mm-hmm.
So
if it goes on, it's going to be a friggin' mess, basically.
Pretty much, brother.
And are they going to have to divert all those ships to the Panama Canal and bring them up to the West Coast, basically? I mean, they're going to have to do that, right?
No, because they're not going to have the capacity on the West Coast to unload them. What you're going to see is you're going to see ships dumping cargo in Halifax, Canada, where they can. Mm. But that terminal's going to get maxed out right away. There's no good rail connection to move that much cargo into the States. They can't go to Montreal because the ship would run aground trying to go up the St. Lawrence River before it got anywhere because they're too big. You're going to see some stuff get dumped in Freeport, Bahamas, maybe some stuff in Jamaica, but the majority of the freight will just sit at anchor off whatever, first inbound port it's going to come into in the U.S., and wait it out, because it's really the only option. If you're shipping, perishables, if you're a fruit importer, you got big problems.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Holy cow. This could get bad from that perspective, because I'm imagining the United States of America, I mean, let's take Pennsylvania, agriculture. We probably export a lot of agriculture, right?
No, we don't. No, we import a ton. I mean, Philadelphia is the major refrigerated cargo port in the country. I mean, it's the premier port for containerized fruit, fruit imports. And Wilmington, Wilmington, Delaware, and Philadelphia are the two tops. And Philadelphia too. I mean, people don't realize you have hundreds and hundreds of containers of frozen beef coming in from Australia, New Zealand, and Argentina and Brazil. So it's and these companies, I mean, trust me, they everybody's already, everything for Christmas is already in, so I wouldn't worry about not being able to get a Cabbage Patch doll or any nonsense like that. But the food supply, whatever,
it'll be okay. You know, maybe it's a minor inconvenience, but I think this thing's gonna get resolved sooner rather than later. I would think within a week we should be back in business. But that's a guess. That's no inside information there.
All right, Tim. Listen, buddy. I hope you're right. Let's hope so. This was a very informative call. I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
You got it, brother. Take care.
All right, brother. Thank you. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. It's a shame we don't export more. But you know, the meat, the beef. Yeah, I'm thinking about that. Yeah. Oof. I'll tell you too. He mentioned the Cabbage Patch Kids. What I was worried about was Santa's delivery routes being affected by this, if you know what I mean. Because obviously Santa's magic, and the reindeer should have no problems, no issues. But I was worried about that. So I'm reassured by that as a dad with girls who like Cabbage Patch dolls. So that gives me a little bit of hope right there. I like that. Chris is stuck on 95. My sympathies, brother. You wanted to talk about the ballot situation?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Am I still here?
Yeah.
So what's going to happen is there's going to be a lawsuit. Someone's going to have a lawsuit saying, you know, the Commonwealth messed up, mailed out these ballots. It's unfair that these people's ballots are modified, all, you know, and they're going to throw away the security laws, let tape fly on all the ballots, and then all the ballots can be tampered with. That's what I think is going to happen.
Well, it's definitely, depending on how many we're talking about here, it could become the next hanging chad issue. The potential for it is there, right? I mean, all you got to do is just have the one issue where somebody questions whether or not that ballot is really the integrity of that ballot in that secrecy envelope that has now been scotch taped together and sent back. So I think that's the other thing you got to do, which is you got to honestly send your stuff, bring it in. Bring it in. I'm going to be on an RNC call tonight with Republican National Committee and the lawyers dealing with this and the poll watchers, because we have to make sure Trump wins and we got to make sure this election is secure. We have to. It has to be done. You know, we are gambling here with World War III, this economy, with this dock worker strike. I don't think any of this would have happened, but I'm seeing the nonsense. Arizona, you heard me say earlier, you got 218,000 people that may not be citizens who may have got ballots already. You know, they're playing games, and it's disturbing that they're playing games, Chris. It really is.
Yeah. Only 30 more days of October surprises to come.
All right, buddy. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. I got a little audio of you for you from Trump. He spoke earlier today about the situation in Israel right now. Biden's making remarks. I'm not going to take him live, but we'll roll up. You know, we'll grab anything if he says anything worth bringing to you. I just think his brain is pudding. You are what you eat. This guy's friggin' pudding. We don't have a president. I mean, honestly. Honestly, they got to be thinking about the 25th Amendment, right? They got to be. And I don't want that to happen, because I think it gives Kamala Harris an advantage in some way. But at the same time, I'm very worried about national security. So I got to hope, you know, smart people are making decisions in the Pentagon, because God knows he's not. Here's Trump. Cut 27. If I were in charge, take a listen.
If I were in charge, today's attack on Israel never would have happened. All of the things that we're talking about never would have happened, including that botched withdrawal that made us look so bad. Probably the reason that Russia went into Ukraine. They saw that and they, because it was right after that, they saw that and they said, wow, these people are not what we thought. If I win, we will have peace in the world again. I guarantee we will have peace in the world again. And if Kamala gets four more, unthinkable, right? If she gets four more years, the world goes up in smoke. This world will go up in smoke. If I were in charge.
He talked about the war or threat of war is raging everywhere, and it is. I mean, everywhere right now. We're talking about Israel preparing to do a major retaliation. They just had the biggest missile attack on their country by Iran. We have warships in the region. Cut 28.
So now war or threat of war is raging everywhere, and the two incompetent people running our country, or what, I don't actually think they're even running it, are leading us to the brink of World War III, a war like no other. This is what the policies of weakness and appeasement have brought to the world. And as I've been saying for a long time, you know, terrible things can happen. When you have incompetent leadership, really bad things can happen. I mean, there's a story that I just told you about how quickly we took out the enemy that we were fighting for 20 years, close to 20 years. You wouldn't trust Joe or Kamala to run a lemonade stand anywhere, would you? If your child were running a stand, you know, the way I used to run a lemonade stand, I'd say, Mom, outside of my house in Queens, I'd run. There weren't that many people walking in front of the stand, but I ran it. But if I wasn't going to run it, I wouldn't let one of those two run it because they wouldn't have any idea. The world right now is spiraling out of control. You might not have seen what's happened because it was a few hours ago. A lot of people were here. There's so many people outside, which we appreciate. But a lot of people were here a short time ago. Iran launched 181 ballistic missiles at Israel. And I've been talking about World War III for a long time. And I don't want to make predictions because the predictions always come true. We're not going to make, but they are very close to global catastrophe. We have a non-existent president and a non-existent vice president who should be in charge, but nobody knows what's going on. She was at a fundraiser in San Francisco, a city that she totally destroyed, by the way. San Francisco was the best city in the country maybe 20 years ago, and today you can't even go there. You can't even live there. And I speak against myself because I own property there. I shouldn't be saying that. I should say it's the greatest place in the world. Let's sell my property. But I say it's, I don't know, maybe it stages a comeback, but it's literally not livable. And 20 years ago, it was the best city in the country, probably one of the best cities anywhere in the world. But they, you know, she was caught yesterday on an airplane staging a fake photo op. Did you see that with the telephone? The only problem is she didn't have the phone plugged in. You know, she's talking on the phone. The phone is not plugged in. She's talking like she's working. You know, I'm working so hard. Oh, boy, what a group. What a group. No one is in charge of our country, and it's not even clear, really, who's in charge between the two of them. You have a president, I guess. You have a vice president, I guess. She should have never been chosen because she never got any votes.
Yeah, I mean, he's right. We don't know who's in charge. By the way, my buddy Linda Kearns just texted me. Here's what you do. If your ballot is damaged or the outer security envelope is already sealed shut when it arrives, bring it back to the Board of Elections and turn it in and ask for a new one. Do not risk slicing open and taping, despite the advice that was written in the Philadelphia Inquirer by the Boards of Election. Do not risk slicing open and taping it. If you do not know where your Board of Elections is, Google it or go to protectthevote.com and report ballot integrity issues. One of their staffers will be in touch. Okay? So we're going to make sure that they're not able to... They're always going to be up to shenanigans in this friggin' city. You know that. And it's almost Halloween and the dead are going to rise to vote. You know that. But that's what you do. So the article from the Inquirer said, open it up and then scotch tape it shut. And no, don't do that. Don't do that. That's... You're just asking for somebody to tamper with your ballot. You are just asking for somebody to mess with your ballot and take it out and put in a ballot for Harris and then... put the tape back down and be like, that's the way it came in. I don't know, you know. Because whenever you scotch tape something, give me a friggin' break. You know, and they literally said scotch tape, not even Gorilla Tape, not even crazy glue, scotch tape. No, no. Bring it in person. Go to protectthevote.com. Deal with it that way. Don't give these people any opportunity to mess with it. Please don't. All right? Don't do that. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Coming up, Macy Petty. I'm excited to chat with her. College volleyball player and leader of the Young Women for America, which is the collegiate program of Concerned Women for America. She got a great op-ed. As a female athlete, I do not consent to playing alongside men in collegiate sports. I think this is a big issue going into this election. And I think what Charlamagne Tha God said yesterday, when he said that commercial about the transgender surgeries for illegal immigrants and prisoners and playing that during football games. Yeah, that's a powerful ad. So is this message, too. Moms and dads, your little girl might have to play with a dude or be in a locker room with him, or worse, may have to room with him. Like what happened to a girl who's playing college sports. She had a room with a guy who's identifying as a girl. So we'll talk to her straight ahead. We got a lot to get to. Dr. Victoria Coates is going to join us. We're monitoring the situation in Israel. We've got breaking news all over the place, so don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Justin, you still taking requests for music?
Every day. Chat? Every day we're live. I'm always taking requests. I got the Google Doc up, and I'm ready to take some more.
Beautiful. Love it. Beautiful. Good stuff. Stream along. Stream along. Join in the fun. Everybody's chit-chatting away. It's great. Chatting away. Love it. It's good stuff. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Don't forget, by the way, in a month, we're going to, not a month, 2 weeks, I'm thinking, October 11th, we're going to be live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey for our next live show, Friday, October 11th. Mark your calendar and join us for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I would love to see you there. Macy Perry, I'm so excited to have you on the show. Petty, excuse me, NCAA college volleyball player, leader of Young Women for America, the collegiate program of Concerned Women for America. And your new op-ed, as a female athlete, I do not consent to playing alongside men in collegiate sports. Macy, thanks for joining us here in Philadelphia. It's great to speak with you. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. I mean, this is you're brave for stepping out in this age of cancel culture and speaking out on this. What pushed you to the point where you said, I just can't remain silent anymore?
Yeah, well, it was actually during my recruiting process to college. So this is about 4 years ago now. I actually had to compete against a male athlete who was competing on a women's team under this guise of transgenderism. And so I realized at that point that I had been taking Title IX and sex-based protections for granted my whole life, and I didn't realize just how important they were to fulfilling my dreams of playing college volleyball one day, hopefully for an athletic scholarship. So began speaking out about the issue and got some pushback and realized that maybe common sense wasn't quite as common as I thought it was, and have been working with CWA to just promote these sex-based protections ever since.
To become a college-level volleyball player, how much of your life was spent practicing and playing games and the kind of sacrifices you have to make to get to that level of playing in the NCAA at that kind of level,
man,
in college?
Yeah, I mean, it totally dominates your entire life, especially in high school. Like, I was that girl who never really got to go to prom or a lot of family vacations or anything like that, because I was always going to these volleyball tournaments, trying to get recruited, trying to catch the college scouts' gaze. And when I wasn't doing that, of course, I was training, trying to increase my vertical, all the things like that, going on college visits. So that's why it's so devastating to see these women just totally taken advantage of in these roster spots that are specifically guaranteed for women in Title IX, then stolen by a male athlete. That's why Concerned Women for America just filed a federal civil rights complaint against San Jose University. They're a team out in California who right now has a male competing on their team and is completely demolishing their female opponents.
It's just, it's so unfair. And this is where it's an issue where I think parents can relate to, because I've got young kids and they're just getting into sports. And I don't know if any of them will have the talent or the ability to ever be able to play in college level. But for the sacrifices you make and then to lose to a dude, or to have to even room with a dude, share a locker room with a dude, any of that stuff. But particularly the idea, it's like my little girl made all these sacrifices. She could have been out drinking with her friends, but instead she was getting a good night's sleep for her competition the next morning and going to practices. And then it's taken away from her. That really, really infuriates me.
Yeah, it's absolutely devastating. And you're right. I think it is causing this fire in a lot of parents and female athletes across the country, because this is just going way too far. I mean, you think about not only the sacrifice that these girls have put in, but also jeopardizing their safety. I have friends who have been suffering devastating injuries that will follow them for the rest of their life because some school administrators put their own safety on the line by allowing a male athlete to compete. And then you think about having to share a bed when you're traveling, or this male athlete stripping in front of them in locker rooms. So we really need some accountability on the rulemakers who are letting these things happen.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And so after you spoke out about this, what was the blowback like for you? And were you pleasantly surprised by the number of people that supported you? And were the people that supported you, were they willing to be public about it? Or was it kind of like a behind, like, I'm with you, but I don't want to say anything?
Yeah, well, actually, the first time I testified, Leah Thomas hadn't even won a national championship yet. So this, again, wasn't really a debate that people were having. It seemed so obvious at the time. But the South Carolina State Legislature didn't actually pass the bill when I testified on it. They said, oh, this isn't really happening. Little did they know there was a male athlete competing at Coastal Carolina at the time. And once they actually passed the bill, he had to move out to California. So I think that a lot of people weren't really initially having their eyes on this issue at first. But once we protested, again, alongside CWA at the swim meet where the NCAA awarded a male athlete a women's national championship, people got outraged about it. So, of course, there's some ideologues who hide behind screens and send hateful messages. But I know that there are a majority of Americans who are with us on this and will continue to defend truth to this end.
But, you know, one of the reasons, Macy Petty, why I wanted you on the show was when I read your op-ed, a kind of a light bulb went off in my head. We're all thinking that the NCAA is woke, and I have no doubt that they are. But there's another aspect of this, too, and you write here, the problem of men invading women's spaces didn't stop, nor did it start with Leah Thomas. The reality is that the NCAA, with its extraordinary power over college athletics, has tipped the scales in favor of male athletes in women's sports, mm-hmm. and doing this to the detriments of female athletes around the world. Are they doing this? Is this a money thing for them?
Well, they've been unwilling to take any stances to protect their female athletes for quite some time now, but their position is completely indefensible, and we've been trying to pry them. I actually hand-delivered a letter to the chair of the Board of the Governors, Linda Livingstone, and she couldn't even look me in the eye when I did it. But now they're trying to flee the issue completely, and they're saying, oh, we're just, taking policy positions from these other organizations, but really it's up to the individual schools. But then the NCAA themselves aren't even giving the schools the respect and to let them know they're even going to be competing against another male athlete. So their female athletes don't even have an opportunity to opt out, and the schools don't have an opportunity to opt out either, because they're totally blindsided by the NCAA when they show up to the court and realize their opponent is a man. So it totally falls on the shoulders of the NCAA, no matter how hard they try and run away from any responsibility.
You also point out that there's no records of the NCAA notifying their member schools if their women's teams will soon be competing against or changing in the locker room with a man. And that's another problem, too, because I guess the idea is, listen, if you've got a problem with it, then you need re-education, right? You've got mm-hmm. it's the problem's on you, and so you just better deal with it. And so if you walk in and go, oh, there's a dude, well, listen, that's on you. You should be accommodating and welcoming, and you should go, I'm so happy to have you here.
Yeah, it seems so odd that he would now pull this stunt with the letter that Charlie Baker, president of the NCAA, sent to the Senate by saying that schools can operate in their own institutional values, because they might say within their own institution they won't roster a male athlete, but then they show up to the court for their NCAA-mandated game, and they look and they see that their opponent is a man. So we really need some accountability when it comes to this, but we are hoping that these schools who do now, that they are now aware that Blair Fleming is a male athlete, that they'll just completely opt out of their games. And we've seen this already. Boise State opted out of their game against San Jose State. Mm-hmm. Southern Utah opted out of their game against San Jose State. And it's really just putting the safety and dignity of their female athletes first, which is really just what we want in this whole issue to begin with.
Yeah, that's what has to happen, right? Everybody just has to go in there and I don't know, is it you take a knee, you forfeit, you just refuse to play? I mean, but there's consequences to that too, though, right?
There are. And unfortunately, a lot of those consequences have been burdened on the female athletes. They're right now having to choose between their own safety and dignity versus maybe even a $100,000 scholarship that's paying for their schools. And for a lot of girls, that's just a burden that's just too much for them. And so that's why we are calling on some of these schools to not even put the girls in that position. Just come out with a policy that's simple. It says, if there's a man on the other team, we're just not going to play.
Yeah, and then avoid the situation where you've got somebody who feels very, very strongly about it one way or the other. And then and what about professional women athletes who have spoken out and have had your back on this? Do you feel like there's a lot of air support, for lack of a better word, here?
I do. We've been able to partner with several Olympians and Martina and all these other people who joined us on a bus tour this past summer. So there is a lot of support from women who have benefited greatly from Title IX and don't want to see that go away behind them. But yeah, it's been great to be able to link arms with such a diverse group of women over such a common issue.
I've had my friend Paula Scanlon on the show a few times. Paula, of course, yes, a swimmer at Penn, and she's been great on this issue too. And so I love that what you're doing. I think it's great, and Riley Gaines and everything, and your piece is excellent at Fox News. As a female athlete, I do not consent to playing alongside men in collegiate sports. 23 U.S. senators have urged the NCAA to protect women's sports, but the problem persists. Macy Petty, thank you for speaking out on this. Hopefully, it will lead to some positive change. But I can tell you, as a parent, the majority of parents, overwhelmingly, that I speak to are on your side, and they think what's happening is crazy. They're just, some of them, unfortunately, they're just afraid to speak out on it. They're afraid to get canceled, I guess, or blasted on social media. But I know they think this is nuts, and I do think things are turning in terms of the opinion of the public in a good way. And hopefully the election will go that way, and we'll have more senators calling on this, and we can make some real change. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much. I agree. Hopefully some of that passion will come through in the polls, because we're just not willing to sacrifice the safety of our female athletes for some ideology.
Good for you, Macy Petty. Good for you. And we can follow you, by the way, on social media, I should mention, too. Give us your Twitter handle so we can follow you.
Yep, it's Macy Petty 0416, or you can follow Concerned Women at CWSA.
All right. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, we're cooking with gasoline here. We're going to talk to Dr. Victoria Coates in the next hour about the latest on everything that's going on with Iran. We have some more insight into ballot nonsense and shenanigans. I got a friend of mine who texted me and said, I'll read you the text. She said, I was at Costco. It was packed. Everyone had toilet paper, paper towels, and water again. And there was no parking. Middle of the day. On a Tuesday afternoon. So the panic buying is already happening as a result of the longshoremen strike. I'll just say this. Make sure you get your coffee, because I think the greater Chris is the smartest one. I'm thinking toilet paper. He's thinking coffee. And if it comes down to it, like, I'll kill a man for coffee if I have to. You know what I mean? Like, I can get along without toilet paper. I'll kill a man if I can't get my coffee. So that may lead to what could happen. You know what I'm saying? If I know my neighbor's got a coffee storage in the bay, I'll break in and steal that. You know what I mean? I'll kill him for it. The end of the world? Zombie apocalypse? I could go without a lot of things, Matt DeSantis, but not coffee. I can't go without coffee. You know?
I'm deeply disturbed that you've selected coffee over toilet paper as more necessary.
Yeah, no, it's true. And what would happen is I'd wake up on like the second day, not even the third day, the second day, and I'd be like, guy next door has coffee, give me the rifle, give me the shotgun. I'm going over there. And it's going to end one of two ways. But either way, I need a cup of Joe. You know? So, just saying. Everybody has their breaking point. For me, 48 hours without coffee, that's all it would take. They'd be like, but you know, they just resolved the strike, right? You don't have to break in here and steal it. Be like, ah. All right, well, in that case, why don't we sit down and have a cup of coffee together like gentlemen, all right? I was like, no, you tried to steal my coffee. Get out of my house. I don't want you here. And you're the worst neighbor ever. You could have just asked. Like, all right, I know. But it seemed cooler to think I had to break into the basement and steal the coffee from your stash, you know?
Can't you just take some toilet paper while you're in there? Why are you just taking the coffee?
That's a good point. That's a good point. I'm breaking in to get a couple K-cups. Might as well grab a couple of squares while I'm there, too. Good point.
Get some Charmin. Go for it.
Yeah. The worst is when you escape, you get back home, you think you're in the clear, and then you find out that you didn't get half and half of your wife, and you got to break back in, steal half and half. That's always a problem. You know what I mean? That's awkward. That's where you wind up getting caught. Going back in for the half and half. Just saying. So, all right, we got Congressman Mike Kelly coming up at 5 o'clock. You know, he's the chair of the House Assassination Subcommittee. We got a lot going on here. This is great stuff. We're cooking. We got a lot to talk about. October 11th, Grand Hotel. We're coming right back.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I notice there's some trolls on the YouTube chat. Is that a thing normally? You got trolls on there?
Yeah, it's normal.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Mm, interesting.
We're blocking them as we go.
People have just nothing better to do with their time than to just troll this YouTube chat? Like, it just seems to me like you're a gigantic freaking loser if that's all you can... Like, am I wrong about that?
No, you're not wrong. And hide in their basement and, in their mom's basement, excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just weird to me. I don't get the whole trolling thing. I mean, time is precious.
I agree.
To have nothing else going on in your life but to troll a chat, that's just bizarre. You got a screw loose. You're a freaking nut.
And spending way too much time, again, in the mom's basement.
Yeah.
Probably Joe Biden's with him.
They've never probably kissed a girl. That's the problem.
Exactly.
Because
you know
these are all dudes. These are all virgins.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. You're right. Yep.
All guys who can't get a woman. That's what it comes down to.
Yep, exactly right.
Well, it's a shame. I know. It's the last thing I'd ever imagine doing. Oh, look, Shapiro's on Fox News right now, playing down Kamala Harris's ban on fracking. Thank God she didn't pick him. With the vice presidential debate going on tonight, thank God she did not pick him. Shapiro would have helped her a lot in Pennsylvania on this issue because he is right now defending Kamala Harris on the issue of fracking. And I don't think tubby Midwestern doofus Waltz can do that tonight. I don't think he's capable of that. He comes across creepy anyway. But this guy, Shapiro, is good. And he's going on about how doing his fake Obama voice again about how important it is. And she moved her position on fracking because she listened and learned. That's what Shapiro's saying. She listened and learned from people. And changing your position on that is a sign of political strength. And I'm pleased that Kamala Harris is going to strengthen our natural gas industry in Pennsylvania. I'm pleased that she's taking here this campaign. And, of course, Neil Cavuto's not, pushing back on this. So... give me a break. You know what I mean? But if Shapiro had been the pick, it would have been a different story. And it would worry me. I'm not worried about Pennsylvania. I'm really not. Not now, but thank God she didn't pick him. That's all I got to say. It's funny, too, because she didn't pick him because he's Jewish and he's on TV originally talking about the strikes against Israel. Kamala Harris put out a statement apparently saying she supports Biden's decision to do airstrikes against Israel. That's what she did, that she put out a statement. So that's what she have. I got, let me play a clip for you right now. This is, speaking of Midwestern doofus Tim Waltz. So Andrew Kaczynski, the K-File, who exposed Kamala Harris's previous opposition to the border wall and then how she was using Donald Trump's border wall, literally the border wall that he worked on building in her campaign commercials, that guy, the K-File. And then he exposed other things about Kamala Harris, including the transgender surgeries for illegal immigrants and prisoners on that ACLU questionnaire she filled out. So now he's exposed now that Tim Waltz falsely claimed to have been in China, during the Tiananmen Square uprising, including as recently as a 2019 radio interview in which he lied about that. This guy's like the Brian Williams of politics. He really is. Cut 26.
When did you live in China?
About late 80s.
Okay.
So, I was there. I see this happening in Hong Kong as a more serious note. I was in Hong Kong on June 4th, 1989, when, of course, Tiananmen Square happened. And I was in China after that. It was very strange because, of course, all outside transmissions were blocked, Voice of America. And, of course, there was no phones or email or anything. So I was kind of out of touch. It took me a month to know the Berlin Wall had fallen when I was living there.
When did you live in China?
About late 80s.
So it's another example of Walt's lying about who he is. I wonder if J.D. Vance will hit him on that tonight. He should. He really should. Be good. Oh, you know who's the best, though? I'm telling you, Byron Donalds is the best. B-Dog, he's the man. He's so good. He's so good. When Byron Donalds goes after you, you know you got a problem. And he was on Charlemagne the God show. Remember, yesterday I played you a clip of Charlemagne the God saying that commercial of them talking about Kamala Harris paying for surgeries, transgender surgeries, is great. Playing that during football, do it. Yep, that's the way to do it. He's talking about black guys watching football, hearing about that, and going, that's my money that they're spending to cut off some criminal schwants in prison? Like, no. No way. Byron Donalds started talking about black men, why they're starting to look at Donald Trump on Charlemagne the God show. But wait, DeSantis, what are you saying? The New York Times said they watched him waltz his old debates, and what they learned is, oh yeah, he's not a lofty orator. I'll get to that in the 5 o'clock hour a little bit. He's such a dory doofus. He really is. Big doofus. He's Matt Foley. He's motivational speaker Matt Foley. He's Chris Farley's character from Saturday Night Live. If you're living in a van down by the river, in the Minnesota River, that's what he is. I'm telling you. But here's Byron Donalds about why black men are supporting Trump. This is good. It's good stuff here. He's the man. Cut 15.
One of the reasons why black men in particular are starting to look at Donald Trump, because they're like, you know what? At least my pockets were good when he was president. The other stuff, that's other stuff.
Well, I think
I was making more money and my money was going further.
But I think they feel like that because of the stimulus checks and the PPP loans. But you got to look at what had to happen in order for that money to go out. Like, we had to have a freaking pandemic where millions of people died.
But no.
That's not going to happen.
But I hope not. Oh, no, I don't want it to happen either. But I want to be clear on this. Wages adjusted for inflation before the COVID-19 pandemic was at the highest level for black Americans, Hispanic Americans, white Americans in the history of the country. The wage gap, which gets talked about so much in our politics, the wage gap was actually decreasing under Donald Trump's presidency. And then the COVID-19 pandemic hit, and then COVID was just such a disaster for everybody. And now we have a situation where we have massive inflation in the country. Inflation today is like a little over 3% year over year. But when you take in the totality of these price increases, prices are up well over 20% in our country the last 4 years. That's real life stuff everybody's dealing with. And I think that's why Donald Trump is being more successful in some parts of the electorate than he has in the past.
And by the way, prices are about to go up because of this longshoreman strike. No doubt about it. It's going to happen, too. It's going to happen. Even whether and the only thing I worry about a lot of this, and I've got some thoughts on this, but let me take a quick break because we have Congressman Mike Kelly joining us next in the 5 o'clock hour. 30 minutes of nonstop talk straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.